dear Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Why are we here? Number one, because we love Him.
Amen.
And we want Him to gain on this earth what is His longing. A lot of Christians only care for what's on their heart, their agenda. But we want to be a people who are in tune with what the deepest desire and longing of the Lord Jesus is. And that is to gain the reality of His body, which is His bride. So that's why we're here. And so in this conference, I'm looking for one of my sheets. Where's one? Where's message one? Do I have message one? Yeah. What's that? Oh, yeah, thanks. I thought I had it up here. The title was Living in the Reality of the Body of Christ by Keeping the Principles of the Body. And in message one, the title was The Reality of the Body of Christ. And so that first message was an overview. And in that message, we saw that the focus of God's economy, the reason why the infinite God became a finite man and passed through this limited living as a man, died on the cross, resurrected, became the Spirit, was to dispense that life into us. And what that life produces is not a bunch of good men, but a living organism, His living body, a corporate God-man that's one with Him. The single God-man became enlarged in all the members of His body. So the body of Christ is this one who is the Spirit. He came as the Spirit of reality. And the Spirit of reality brings all the reality of the Son, who is the embodiment of the Father, and all that He's gone through into us. Amen. That needs to be wrought into our entire being, every part of our being. And then the reality of the body of Christ is a duplication of the living, which is called the truth that is in Jesus. In that man, Jesus, there was a living that was in righteousness and holiness of the reality. Totally right with man and full of holiness to God. Fully expressing God in every part of His human living. And the reality of the body of Christ is the union and mingling of God with man to live out this corporate God-man. So He has joined to us. He's mingled with us. That we would, one with Him, be that corporate God-man. Okay? And then the reality of the body of Christ is the corporate living of all of us. What? Being conformed to His death. We've been put into this mold of Christ's death, which is a wonderful death. And we are learning this mold. This is our Christian life. And then to be in the reality of the body of Christ is to live in the mingled Spirit. Everything that He is and has is now joined and one with our spirit. So for the reality of the body to come forth, we need to be a people who live according to our spirit mingled with the divine spirit. Amen. And then this morning, message two, which I thought I had up here. Thank you. Was on the oneness body and the function of the body. So we see that the body of Christ is universally one. And it exists in oneness. How could a body, a physical body, exist cut into pieces? This is Satan's strategy for 2,000 years. Take the Lord's body and divide it through doctrines, practices, opinions, concepts. As long as that body is divided, his time is unchecked. We don't want that. And this oneness of the body is the oneness of the Spirit. It's not something we do in ourselves. It is just this oneness saturating, permeating, and us just caring for this oneness. And with our transformed human virtues, when Phil offends me, I'm just enjoy the Lord as my lowliness amen. And my meekness, and I just, amen. I forgive him. And hopefully he's not bothered with me. We really need these human virtues to keep the oneness. Okay? I'll have to go on. And then the function of the body of Christ is to do what? This glorious, wonderful, universal, great head who is Christ, he needs a vast expression. He needs to be expressed in a large body of members. That's what he wants. It's not us determining to do things for him, trying to figure out what he wants, but our main purpose is to express him. That he would actually be living again here on earth. And this is so one with him in expression that the church, his body is called the Christ. Amen. It's a great mystery.
Yeah.
It includes the mysterious head with the mysterious body. The Christ. Amen. So, those were the first two messages. I hope we all really gained something. You know, my whole feeling was, we have to apprehend together. We need all the saints. You know, maybe a little portion is presented by brothers, but it takes all the saints to how that word entered you to speak it back out. And then we begin to see, oh, wow, I didn't see that. That facet that brother saw. So, I'm putting in a plug for the end of the meeting. Exercise, right? Amen. To express Christ. So tonight, we are on the third message. Let's read the title. There's two sides. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's read, it's on both sides, okay? Experiencing the work of the cross for the body and living in the unique fellowship of the body, the supply of the body, the members of the body. Amen. Oops. Okay. So, experiencing the work of the cross, not to be spiritual, not to be an outstanding Christian, but for the body. The first point says, if we would live in the reality of the body of Christ, we need to experience the work of the cross for the body and in the body. In the church in Corinth, was a typical church. And they were really distracted by a lot of things. So Paul presents again to them to bring these distracted, confused believers back to the focus. The first thing he mentions is Christ crucified. Okay? And he even went there with a determination not to know anything else but Jesus Christ and this one crucified. Here's a church full of philosophical minds, right? Probably analyzing everything in natural tendencies. And then there's the Jews. They always want to seek signs. So how could you have the body of Christ with these kind of people? It's like oil and water. You mix it, but it separates again. So the cross of Christ is crucial. The cross of Christ is not an end in itself. Just to accomplish redemption, and that was it. The cross of Christ was to produce the body of Christ. That's why if you continue reading in Corinthians in chapter 12, he touches the matter of the body. But you can't reach that unless the cross is experienced first. Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace of Christ arbitrate in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." So how can this group of people be the body of Christ when they're so different? And differences always cause what, Tim? And friction. Yeah. But if the cross is experienced, it has already accomplished termination. There's no problems. So the result is peace. And if you are holding on, that peace will not let you go. Right? It'll bother you. You're not right with that brother. You have the body life in reality if we have problems. So even the cross is working in our being to bring in the peace in all the members. Okay. So A says the cross leads us to the body, and the knowledge of the cross brings us the knowledge of the body of Christ. You know, I really appreciate this verse much more. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness." If the cross is foolishness to you, you can't be saved. If you treasure the word of the cross, it becomes the power of God to save us. It's effective. And the thing about the cross is, like I said, is it kind of stands in the middle. On this side, you have the entire old creation. The song we sang, when the Lord went to the cross, he brought that entire old creation with him. He became a creature. When he became a creature, he put on the entire creation with him. And he brought that to the cross, and there it was terminated. He was buried and resurrected. That's the other side of it. And now on the other side comes what? God's life was released. And in his resurrection, it was imparted into all his chosen, whom he just redeemed on the cross. Hallelujah! Amen. leads us to the body. And then the way we know the body is we realize that everything on that side is not here.
Right.
It has no place, no ground.
Amen.
Right? There's no Jew, no Greek,
right.
No bond, no free.
Mm.
No male, no female.
Right.
It's all terminated there.
Amen.
And we realize in the body, it's just Christ.
Right.
It's not me.
Right.
He's my person. He's my life. And he wants everything to me.
Amen.
You want to be a good husband? Don't waste your time. Just enjoy the crucified Christ, right? And the resurrection life for you to enjoy him and live a God-man. Same for the sisters. B, the cross leads to the body, and the cross operates in the sphere of the body. One, the work of the cross goes as far as the body of Christ and consummates with the body of Christ. So this we see, that was the purpose of the cross. That is the issue of the cross. That is what has produced. Okay? And point two says, not only does the work of the cross bring us into the body, but also the body becomes the realm within which the cross operates. We realize we're in the body. Okay. The natural life has no place.
Yeah.
So, what do we do? The natural life is always right there, right? The cross from the natural life. And it's in the realm of the body because we are not an organization.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
We're not just a group of people, an ecclesia called out that just get together, but his living body. And so as the body, we need the cross in us.
Amen.
Remove everything that is still natural. This is amazing. The cross works. The result, medically, the body. Because we move everything on the other side. See, the body of Christ, we cannot go on without the cross. Okay, I'm going to... Point one, the cross will test us and sift away all our mixtures and uncleanness. I really appreciated these verses. Then Jesus said to his disciple, Matthew 16:24, if anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. And then Luke 22:31-32 says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has asked to have you all and to sift. Right? Sift you as wheat, but I've made petition concerning you that your faith would not fail, and that and you, once you have turned again, establish your brothers. Peter had a lot of confidence, very strong, right? Always the first one to say something. And all everyone else will leave you, or I'll even die for you. So, this is listening to this. And listen to this. Satan specifically asked to sift him. Lord say no? Did he, Ron? No. But I pray that your faith. So that means Peter had to be put through an experience of the cross. And you may have something that has a lot of mixture in it. And you shake it. And then, got everything out that I didn't want. That's what Peter went through. A lot of things in him were mixture. And a lot of things in us are mixtures. We may think, I'm so zealous. I could do so much. Oh, get ready. That's what the cross does. It'll take out all the pictures and all the uncleanness. So we need to follow the Lord, take up the cross, to deny the self, to get rid of all the mixture within our being. Okay, 3. Life and work in the body necessitate drastic dealings with the flesh, and such dealings necessitate a deeper knowledge of the cross. Point 3. Drastic dealings. That means no sparing. The flesh is good. Deal with the
drastic way
with the bad things. But maybe the good things. Oh, I got some qualities there. I'd like to save them. But the flesh is the flesh. Right. The deeper knowledge of the cross is that none of that fits into the body of Christ. This? It's on. I'm not speaking loud enough? Okay, maybe it was the cord. Oh, I hear it. Okay. Number 4, the restriction of the body will take away our freedom and drive us to the cross. So we're all members of the body. We're members of one another. So look at my hand. Tell me, do those members not have a restriction on them? Do they just do as they want? No. They all follow an order in the body. Beautiful. So the body many times may want to restrict us. Maybe we think, I've got the best way. Of course, it's my way. And that's the best way.
Sure.
That's every way. Everybody feels that way. But you know what? The body may say, no, we don't feel good about that. That becomes a restriction to you. What? To help you. Not to limit you in a sense, but to realize maybe that sense you have is not from the head. So we have to appreciate the restriction of the body. It's a real safeguard. And this, I would say, brings in the value of fellowship. Because fellowship is always to stop, pray, fellowship with others, and get clear. Find the Lord. So this restriction, we realize the only way to get through it is by touching the cross. There's peace. We We let go. We're content. Amen. Five, all of God's dealings with us have been with a view to prepare us for the body. All his work in us is a process of elimination so that we can become functioning members of the body. Who does not want to be a normal functioning member of the body? Raise your hand. Nobody. So, the Lord has to work on us. And each one of us is different. Len, different. The Lord's got to work on Len one way. He's got to work on me another way. He's got to prepare Dan, Mike. But isn't that wonderful? All that we would fit. He wants to eliminate all the things of the old creation that are a frustration to us. Frustration to us functioning as a member in the body. Six, if our natural life is dealt with by the cross and if we submit to the headship of Christ and live the body life, we will have, listen, the Spirit's anointing and enjoy the fellowship of the body.
Amen.
What a wonderful exchange. Give up the natural life by the cross. Submit, there's one head arranging everything. Live in the fellowship of the body and enjoy the Spirit's anointing. And enjoy the fellowship between all the members. So that's point one. Okay, let's go to point two. Let's read it together. Since the body of Christ is uniquely one, universally, the fellowship
of the body of Christ is also uniquely one, universally.
Amen. We see that in Acts 2:42, the church came into being, and all the saints continued steadfastly in the teaching and in the fellowship of the apostles. All the churches were in this unique one fellowship. And that was the fellowship of the body of Christ. A, just as there is the circulation of blood in the human body, so there is a circulation in the body of Christ. A circulation which the New Testament calls fellowship. Okay. John 1:3 says, that which we have seen and heard, we report also to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So, we have all received the divine life. And the issue of this divine life is what's called fellowship. As this divine life moves and flows within us, that is called fellowship. And this fellowship is carried out by the Spirit. And it's carried out by the Spirit where? In our spirit. And there is a picture of this in Revelation, right? In the very end, you have the New Jerusalem, which is a spiraling city. And at the top, there's the throne. And out of the throne, there is a stream flowing. And it says that stream is crystal clear, right? And it flows to every area of the city, to all the gates. So that supplies the entire city. And this is just like the blood circulation in our human body. With you take away the blood out of our body and we are a corpse. But if your circulation in your physical body is good, reaching every member, you are very healthy. Right? So one word that stood out to me in this matter of the universal fellowship of the body of Christ is health. Health. The body of Christ, to be healthy, needs fellowship. It needs the flowing of the Spirit to every member, through every member, every church, and from every church to other churches. It is unique, and it's universal. Now, here is something that's crucial. That fellowship, which is typified by the river as the Spirit, has something growing on the sides, right? Yeah. The street. And that's the tree of life. Amen. Tree of life. Amen. In the garden, there was two trees there. Tree of knowledge, good and evil, right and wrong. Okay. In the end, it's not there. Right. Just the river, the street, and the tree. Amen. Supplying. So as members of the body, we have to care for this unique fellowship. And this fellowship comes out of the proper teachings. And the teachings are the apostles' teaching. And those teachings comprise the entire New Testament. That teaching produces, brings us into the fellowship that the apostles had with the Father, with His Son. Amen. And brings us all into the enjoyment, the same enjoyment. Mm-hmm. How to share this? So you have to pay attention to your experience in the matter of fellowship. If something comes to you and causes you to feel dark, muddied, cloudy, puzzled, you have to check, wait a minute, was that the unique fellowship of the body? Was that the fellowship of the flow of the divine life by the Spirit? Be careful. Or was it something that just stirred up questions? Listen, in the garden, Satan distracted with a question. Once Eve took the question, her whole being got polluted through that question. So for the church life, we need to stay in this unique flow, in this unique fellowship of the body of Christ, amen, which is produced by the healthy teachings of the apostles. Amen. Okay. B, the fellowship of the body of Christ is the stream. It's a stream of the divine life. As the stream of the divine life flows within us, there is the fellowship of the body of Christ. A stream is something always moving. The river is always moving. So if something stops that flow in your being, pay attention to it. Be aware of it. The enemy is very subtle, right? Okay, let's go on. C, the divine fellowship is the reality of living in the body of Christ. By being restricted in this fellowship, the body of Christ is kept in oneness. Okay? You know, we were called in 1 Corinthians 1:9. Mike, what were we called to? Into the fellowship. Right? Jesus Christ. And that fellowship will do everything. That's what Paul presented to the church in Corinth. Christ, who is our portion. So there, if you look at the note, there's like 20 items all through the book of 1 Corinthians of how rich this Christ is. Oh, you got a sickness? It's like, oh, I got an antibiotic here. You got a different one? I got an antibiotic here. You got, oh, I got one here. I got, oh, whatever you need, I got it. This, I got it. This Christ is vast, full of riches. If we enjoy him as the crucified Christ and as our all-inclusive portion, this produces the fellowship of the body of Christ, the health in the church, and the health among all the churches in the circulation of that life among us. D, the unique fellowship of the body of Christ is related to the unique oneness of the body of Christ. So this fellowship keeps us in the oneness of his body. Amen. So I will stop there, and Brother Mike will continue.